Last week, we began a study in the book of James, and I would encourage you to find your way in your Bibles to the book of James or the epistle of James, and particularly chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 2 through 12 this morning. James chapter 1, verses 2 through 12. Powerful words here, a lot being said. I pray that the Lord would help us to glean the important truths contained in this passage. Verse 2, James writes, "Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let endurance have its perfect result, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. But he must ask in faith, without any doubting. For the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For that man ought not to expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. But the brother of humble circumstances is to glory in his high position, and the rich man is to glory in his humiliation. Because like flowering grass, he will pass away. For the sun rises with a scorching wind and withers the grass, and its flower falls off, and the beauty of its appearance is destroyed. So too the rich man in the midst of his pursuits will fade away. Blessed is a man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Last week, we began studying our way through this epistle, and we didn't really get very far. But we did make an important point, I think, last week, and that is we talked about the purpose of this epistle. You need to know that historically, some of the reformers really struggled with the epistle of James, because James, as we will see in weeks to come, really argues that true faith is demonstrated by what it does and what it doesn't do, by its works. And of course, the reformers in the 16th century and 17th century were continuing to fight the notion that a man is justified by his deeds, by religious acts and rites and rituals and all of that kind of stuff. And they were really very much committed to the biblical notion of salvation by faith alone, sola fide. And yet here in this epistle, we have James sort of dealing with the role of works in the Christian's life, and some of them really struggled because they really wanted to make a very clear case that a man is justified by faith in Christ, his belief in Christ, his embracing of the gospel and the work of Christ as the sole and only foundation for justification. That we're not saved by doing all the right things, we're saved by Christ doing the right thing, and it is our faith that apprehends Christ and makes his work beneficial to us who believe. And so it has been a point of contention, but we made the point that the Epistle of James is not about works as opposed to faith, but in fact, the Epistle of James is about faith. It is in keeping with Paul's works. It is an epistle about faith, but particularly of particular interest to James is the idea, verse 3, notice, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. The idea is that genuine faith must be and should be tested. If I'm saved by faith in Christ and my contribution to the equation is simply faith that reaches out and embraces the work of Christ, is the faith that comes from me genuine? Because James will later show us that there is certainly a kind of faith that does not save. James will say, even the demons believe and tremble, know that God is one, but so what? They do not themselves have a saving faith. Enough cannot be said about faith. If you're a Christian, you claim Christ, you believe that because of the cross and all that Jesus accomplished in his earthly ministry is that which will grant you forgiveness and heaven and eternal life, enough cannot be said about faith, and it is in the mind of James, this faith, which demands, because of its significance, it demands being tested. These tests help us assess the character of our faith. I want to read some verses in the New Testament to help us together gain sort of an overarching big view of what the New Testament tells us about faith. Just listen. Matthew 9, verses 2 through 3, and it says this, "And they brought to him, Jesus, a paralytic lying on a bed. And seeing their faith, Jesus said to the paralytic, 'Take courage, my son, your sins are forgiven.'" Mark chapter 5, verse 33 and 34, "But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell before him and told him the whole truth. And he said,